I've been here in Africa now for just over a year. And I noticed that Africans are really good at responding. Like they're hungry for God. And I've noticed that the Westerners aren't so great. You have to preach, you know, your 3 points and it has to reveal their name and address. And even then they're still thinking, yeah, I'm not sure if that's me or not. So guys, if it's you, and if it's something that you think, you know, God's just dropping that in my heart, then we're going to have lots of times for prayer. And we're believing that God's going to visit us in some special ways this morning. And I don't want us to miss out. So yeah, really I need to get on with talking to you, don't I? Otherwise we're never going to get time. Let's, just for those of you who don't know me, my name's Colin. And I'm living now in Bloemfontein. Yes. Who's prayed for Bloemfontein? Who of you came to visit us in Bloemfontein to support our church? Just stand to your feet. Let's have a look. Just stand up. Look at that. Now stay standing. Also, if you prayed for us during our time of launch, just stand as well. Could you? Isn't that a great way to plant a church? Thank you, guys. I just want to say thank you for all. You've been a wonderful support to us, particularly this region of churches. You guys, you've come, you've supported us, you prayed for us, and actually you made us look so good. There were some weeks we'd have like 3 people. And then the guys from Lady Brand would rock up and it's like, yay! And we don't look so silly. So, you know, we really appreciate all your support, everything you've done. And just to say, you know, we've had a great time, really, that God's been at work with our very first meeting. It was like a trial meeting. We were just seeing whether we could put on a meeting, basically. So we had our band and a preacher and everything. And at the end, we gave an appeal just to see if we could make appeals. And guess what? That guy got saved. Hello, wonderful. And you know, we've seen a number of people that have made commitments to Jesus over these last few weeks. And it's been wonderful. So, always there's struggles and trials in it. And we had 1 week in the school building where we launched the church. And then the governing board told us that they didn't want us there anymore. And so we're all back in our house again. But listen, in this conference, we booked in 28 people. Isn't that wonderful? So listen, if you see someone looking a bit lost, never been in this crowd before. You see the badge saying Joy in the City. You must give them a big hug. Yeah? And say to them, you are so welcome here. Because these are our new babies. And we're looking, actually, we said, come and see what we're going to be. Come and see what God's going to do in Bloemfontein. And when they see all you guys, they're going to fall in love with what God's doing. So be good to them, hey? All right, we've got some stuff to do in the Word of God. If you're interested in reading along with me, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16. There's been one question that has been repeated I don't know how many times. People say to me and my wife and my family, why? Why would you? Why would you, as a family, come from England to Bloemfontein? Some people, they just can't believe it. A couple of weeks ago, a guy we just met at a wedding. And we got introduced to him, and he just looked like wide-eyed. Why would you come to Bloemfontein? You came from England to Bloemfontein. Why? And before I even had a chance to answer, he said, what about all the death? So I thought maybe I should educate him. I said, we do get death in England as well. He said, no, man, you know what I mean. He said, there's so much death here. And we're trying to get out. Why would you come to that? It's a good question, actually. I wish I had like half an hour with him to actually go through this preach with him tonight. Because I want to talk a bit about why go to those kind of places. Why go to where there's death? And destruction and decay. Surely we should be trying to get out of that, shouldn't we? Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 16. It's verse 13 we're starting. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah.
Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah.
The Son of the Living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. There's a crucial question that Jesus asks. Who do you say I am? And Peter's answer is quite remarkable. Because in the Jewish mind, they kind of understood the world like this. You know, God made this world beautiful. But something tragic happened through Adam. And through his disobedience, death came into the world. And you read the first few chapters of Genesis to see how that death works itself out. In people's lives being destroyed. Hatred amongst families. Cultures being split apart. And yet, something in the Jewish mind said, but God is good. And they look back on the promises to, to Abraham. When God said, I will bless you and through your seed, the whole of the nations will be blessed. And they held on to that promise that one day a redeemer would come. A leader that would lead the people and lead them out of their slavery and into their freedom that God always wanted for them. And they called that leader the Messiah. The one that would lead them out of captivity. And this is what they were hoping for. They'd been in captivity for many years up to this point. And rumors of messiahs had come and gone. And this was the moment when Jesus says, who do you think I am? And Peter's the one that speaks. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God.
And
Jesus says, you know, you're blessed because you didn't work that out on your own. God revealed that to you. Don't you love it when God turns up and does stuff? I remember a time when I was younger. I'd been a Christian maybe 1 or 2 years, I guess. And if you'd have asked me then, what do you think, you know, Jesus does? I'd have said, you know, he forgives your sin. It was a bit like imagining Ida. In England, we say you've got skeletons in the cupboard. You go to your cupboard and there's these dead men's bones in there and you think, that's terrible, we shut that quick. You've got this hidden past that no one knows about. Yeah, but God knows. And so you need forgiveness. And so the day you say, Jesus, forgive me, you can go to your cupboard and you open the door and it's clear. There's no more skeletons in there. You see, I used to think actually it was like that, but I realized, you know, it's not quite that like that. It's more like carrying a major burden on your back. You see, when you've got skeletons in the cupboard, you can just leave them there and they don't affect you. But when you're carrying a big burden on your back, it twists you and reduces the image of God in you. And it changes you. And you need to be rescued from that. Some of you need to know that even tonight. You've been carrying this burden of sin. And it isn't something you can just hide away. It affects your life. Ultimately, it will kill you. And I remember one day just talking with some friends at school. And one of these friends was a girl who was broken-hearted at the time. And she had been sleeping with various guys, you know, in the school. And she was broken-hearted at how she'd been treated. And the same day, I realized that some of my other friends were experimenting with drugs. And I remember just suddenly realizing, Jesus can do something about these people. Jesus can set them free.
Hore Jesu a ka ba lokolla.
He doesn't just want to forget about their sin that they've got in the cupboard somewhere. The Messiah wants to release people and bring them into freedom. Into the life that God always had for them before sin destroyed it. It actually takes a revelation from God to understand this. I sometimes wonder if the church goes to sleep every now and again. I had the joy of visiting a number of churches when I went round when I first arrived in Bloemfontein. And some of them were wonderful churches, actually. They were great. But there were two that I went to. And it was like they were... They were this little community just waiting for God to take them to heaven. And they didn't look very pleased about it even then. They just thought, you know, we're here to get our sins dealt with. But we don't want anybody else from outside coming in. So when I walked in there, every head turned to look. Who's this stranger coming into the community? And some churches are like this, where they're so concerned about keeping everyone safe from the horrible sin that's out there. One day, God will just come and whisk us away. And their heart never breaks for the world around them. For the lady, I knew the lady who lived opposite the church. And found out that her husband had recently died. And she was continually drunk, just trying to get over the pain. And nobody seemed to care about that. Do you know, Jesus is a Messiah that saves people. He rescues us from our sin so that we can be liberated to live life to the full, like God always intended us to do. Now Jesus gives an answer back to Peter. He says, "You are Peter." Peter meaning the rock. He says, and on this rock, I will build my church. This verse has caused a lot of problems over the years. Because we don't like the thought of, well, you know, did Jesus mean Peter? Really, he couldn't have meant Peter, did he? Did he mean Peter that he'd build his church on? I believe he did. I think he meant Peter. And because I know that Peter was a very weak man at times. We all do, hey? But I know that God loves to use weak people. And actually, God builds his church through weak people like Peter. Yeah, weak people like Justice. And me.
Lynn.
Even the weak ones, you know, you're not discarded if you feel, do you know what? You know, there's all these great people around. And they talk about church and they're all really excited about it. And I just feel like a bit of a failure at times. You know, you're in good company. All you need is a revelation of Jesus. He's the Messiah. He can turn your life around. You know what? You're welcome into the building of the church. We are weak. many times. We came to South Africa. How weak were we?
South Africa,
you know, we as a family, we didn't have a clue what we were doing. You know, we'd been, as some of you know, we've been to Clarence and we lived in Maseru for a little while. But we went to Bloemfontein. They're different over there, you know. They're different people. And we didn't have a clue how, you know, the language was different people because we looked like Afrikaners, believe it or not. That's what they tell us. Well, they think we're Afrikaners because they speak in Afrikaans to us. You know, and we're trying to work through this strange culture. You know, we're trying to work out, you know, how to do a proper braai. You know, I had my first ever brandy and coke. Can you believe that? Sorry, I know that sounds a bit funny for some of you. But that's the Afrikaans culture. I made myself drink it. Well, we felt weak.
We
feel like, what are we doing here? But we refuse to be disheartened. Because God says He will build His church. And it's not up to us at the end of the day. It's not up to our great gifting, our wonderful strategies, our magnificent preaching and worship leading. Did I hear an amen for that? It's because He builds the church. It's because He has taken responsibility as the Messiah to bring hope and healing to a world in need. And He's chosen to do it through this group of people called the church. A weak, strange group of people who are all saying, I haven't got it together, I need salvation. Did you do that one day? You had to become weak, didn't you? You said, I haven't got it all together, I need a savior. And Jesus saved you. Okay, let's go on for another bit because we're getting into kind of where I'm heading, really. I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. You see, Hades was the place of death. In the Jewish mind, there was a place that the dead had to go. And in their minds, it was kind of like a prison. That was so locked up that nobody could ever escape. And this place had the most massive gates. If you want to see massive gates, come to Bloemfontein. You go to the north side of the city and they've got gates that go up forever. They've even got lookout towers on some of them. Lookout towers. You know, they're watching out for anybody coming. You know. These gates are huge and imposing. And people thought, this is what death is like. It's invincible. Nobody that goes in there will ever come out. And they thought, not only is it just death, but death comes in a lot of different ways. So, decay and destruction is all part of death. Sickness and poverty would all be part of death. Hatred, corruption, injustice, all part of this thing they call death. And Jesus says this, this place they call Hades. That was invincible. They had these gates that went up high. Where nobody could get through. No one could escape. And Jesus went into that place. He went through death. And the disciples at the time thought, it's all over. All our dreams that this was the Messiah. That he was going to rescue us from the great oppression of the Romans. It was over. There was no rescue. The power of death was too strong. And they were splitting up, as you know. Saying, we've got to go back to our old ways. It's like death had won. And then, you know the story. On the third day, and there was a shaking of the ground. There was a rolling away of a stone. There was a tomb empty. And there was the champion of heaven had gone through death and got the keys of death and of Hades and has opened the gates from the inside and said, here we go, I'm making death my captive. I'm going to bring out those captives. I'm bringing them out with me. I'm bringing out all the captives from this fortress that was called death. And I'm bringing them out to be free. To live free. And Jesus says, you know, I'm building my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against. Why? Because he's got the keys to the gates. He unlocked them. He went through them. And he brought you out. And he brought me out. He brought us out, didn't he? We were dead. We were in there. We couldn't get saved. But he came in, rescued us. Brought us out. And now we're free. Now we don't have to live in death anymore. He's put life in us. And we're free to be the children of God. It's a wonderful gospel, isn't it? No wonder we want to sing and dance and say how great he is. He's a champion. He's a champion. And it is a wonderful thing to proclaim how great this salvation is, that he took us out of death and brought us into life. And we can know now this power of God that brings life into us, that overcomes all kinds of things. But I just want to say this. He brings us out. And then he sends us back. He sends us back. He says, come on, I'm going to put my life in you. I'm going to put the same spirit that raised my son from the dead in you. I'm going to rescue you and save you and clean you up. I'm going to bring you hope where you had nothing. I'm going to bring you out of poverty and sickness. But listen, I want to send you back there. To the dark places. To the gates of death. Because Jesus declared a great conflict between the gates of death and the church. He says, but listen, I'm building it. And the gates of death aren't going to win. They're not going to win. Because my life, I've already done all the work that was needed. And now I'm going to send my church where it's needed. Where there's death. Where there's sickness. Where there's poverty. Where there's corruption. Where there's injustice. I'm going to send my church. My people. You know that word church is a beautiful word. The Greek word, if I'm not mistaken, is the word ecclesia. Can you say that? Ecclesia. There you go. You've got a Greek word there. Now, lots of people have wondered, what does that really mean? Surely that's going to give us some insights about what the church is. It means, literally, it means the called out ones. But I just want to tell you a story of what went on in those times. You see, the Romans, they loved to expand. And they had the greatest army of the time. And they wanted to keep expanding their borders. And when they invaded a new city, and when the word came back, yes, we've conquered, they would set about building their empire in that city. And they would bring all the things that they felt were wonderful about Rome. So the way that the buildings were built, they would build roads, beautiful straight roads. They would build waterways. How to heat the water. So the cities were actually really beautiful. But obviously they needed some people with expertise to go to that city and to bring the ways of Rome to that city. And so they selected some key people and said, you go with the authority to bring Rome to that city. And do you know what they called that group of people? The Ecclesia. You see, when Jesus said he was building his Ecclesia, he saw this group, this weak group of men and women, filled with the life of God, and going to the places of death, and bringing his culture into those places, the culture of life and hope and healing. And that is our commission, brothers and sisters. That's what we've been called to do. One of the wonderful things about being part of this group of churches is just seeing that in action. Seeing God using his people. Some of you will remember who were here last year. And Viv Kidwell had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Who remembers that? Many of us gathered at the front and prayed over a shawl, asking God to do a miracle in that body, to bring life instead of death. And they sent the shawl down to Cape Town, where Jeff and Viv live. And the elders there anointed her with oil and prayed and used the shawl as a signal of our prayers too. And we just got a scan this week of Viv's kind of before and after, if you like. I don't know if, Gareth, you could put up that shot of the this is an x-ray to show Viv's spine before that prayer.
Oh.
Okay, you can't see that very well. You can see the black, can't you?
And that,
those black spots, those dark areas where the cancer had spread through her backbone. That's her spine, you can see. And then a number of months later, they took this next 6 months later. And you can see the cancer is completely gone. And you know, that is the life from the dead, isn't it? That's the church going to places of death and bringing life. We've got Donna just sitting over here. She's off to Burundi next week. Burundi is now the fifth most dangerous country in the world. There's horrendous death going on right there, right now. And Donna's going there to bring life. It's time to bring the ecclesia with you, actually. There's others that need to go with you as well, Donna, to keep that, you know, to bring the kingdom of God into that place. You know, because it's not actually, it's a church thing together. We can't do this on our own. We need the body, the church, the ecclesia together. My heart for us as churches is that we would see the commission that God gives us to go to the dark places. For some of you, that's your next door neighbor. For some of you, it's the school down your road. We went to a school in Bloemfontein. It's in the papers a lot at the moment. Last week, a pupil attacked a teacher with a knife. Another pupil was caught stealing. Others were out at night and mugged some people out in the evenings. And they report it all in the press. But actually, 3 weeks ago, we had a celebration in that school. And 25 of those young people gave their lives to Jesus. The church, the ecclesia, is called into those dark places to bring hope and healing. It's a real battle sometimes. Don't think that it's just an easy one. But we have the promise of God that He is with us. And He will do the work when we go. He will work through us. And so my heart for us is that we give ourselves wholeheartedly to bringing life to our communities, to bringing hope to the places where you think, oh, that's too far gone. No, Jesus has called us there. And you know what? Over the next few years, we will be sending people into the darkest places on this planet. There's many more places to go, guys. And there's some dark places that don't know the life of God there. Do we dare to pray that God will send us to those places? Did I hear an amen? You've got to be careful what you pray, eh? Jesus says that the fields are ripe, they're ready for harvest. So pray that the Lord will send out workers into his harvest
field.
And you know what happened next? After they prayed, he sent them. Off they went. Be careful how you pray. Hey? God often uses prayer to stir our hearts and change us and make us ready to go. That's what happened to me. As I prayed for this beautiful community that I see in front of me. And we prayed for you. And God did something in our hearts. And we said, God, please send us. You be prepared to do that? I'd love us to pray. There's some of you that know this battle very well. Some of you know that you're battling even at the gates of death right now. Some situations in your families, in your lives, or in your churches. And you know that the battle is strong. I want you to come down here and get prayer. It's time for the church to gather round and start supporting you. Start speaking faith into your lives. And there's some of you that know, actually, yes, God, I'm willing to go to those places. I'm willing to leave my comfort zone. I'm willing to leave my comfort. And I'm willing to go to those dark places. And we'll come with you, actually. That's what we're about as our churches together. No one stands alone. And no one goes alone. If that's you, in either of those two categories, why don't you just come to the front right now? The rest of us, let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. There's a particular battle going on that you're aware of. Just raise your hand so we know. Should we just get around them, church? Come on, let's not stand and watch. Come and pray. We're with you in this, guys. Jesus. Still more people could do with some prayer. If you want to come around. Lord, we want to thank you that you are the one that builds your church. That you broke the power of death and hell. That you now have the keys to death and Hades in your hand. So no power is greater than you. And we thank you for your promises, Lord. That you will send us. into those places with the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. So we ask you for the power of the Spirit on these dear lives right now. Lord, in their battles, Lord, I pray you would help them to stand strong, that they would choose to believe you, that you would give them a word of faith tonight. Lord, those mountains would be moved in their own hearts tonight, and they'd receive your power. Jesus, show your power. Even in those bodies that are struggling and suffering, let the life of Jesus come to them. Your power, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've seen some of us saying, yes, we'll go. We're willing to go to those places. Some of them are dark places. Lord, I pray that you would speak clearly into our hearts about situations that you're sending us to bring the hope and the life of God. Let it come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
As we gathered for the mornings of prayer this week, right at the beginning, God spoke to us almost in a serious tone of there being no over-the-top hype, but that there was just a sense of real purpose of God at work. And I'm so grateful to Colin for this word tonight, because I believe it's carried the heart of what God wants to do to us over Master Builders. And I wonder if you could just lift your hands, those of you not up front here, just put your hands out in front of you. Just put them before the Lord. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who brings life. We thank you we can stand assured tonight that you overcome, that you make a way for us to live life to the full. Keep taking us deeper this week, Lord. Make us strong in your power. I pray in your wonderful name.